A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacy.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to talk with Karen Burton today. Karen, can you, for those that don't know anything about you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Karen Burton from Cincinnati, Ohio. I am 64 years old. I'm a wife and a mom to three grown boys. Two of them that I raised, one that somebody else graciously raised for me, who I just met 20 years ago. They are all in their 40s, three beautiful daughters-in-law and eight grandchildren. I'm a Christian and very active in my church. I spent 30 years in a cubicle farm, computer programming, project manager, all that kind of stuff, and retired, but can't seem to stay retired. So I drive a school bus now. I've been doing that for 5 years, and I love it. I had no idea that I would enjoy that kind of work, but I do. I'm out every day. I get to see the sunrise every day, get to see all those beautiful little children. I get on the bus and see their families and their dogs and their grandmas, and it's a lot of fun. So, but the reason that I'm here, I have been obese all my life. Mm-hmm. So for 60 years, and, you know, starting when I was in grade school, kindergarten, first grade, obese, and mom put me on diets, was trying to help me, didn't know how, of course. Nobody in those days did. Started going to Weight Watchers with her when I was 10, you know, and went in and out of Weight Watchers many times over the years. Tried everything. I even tried Atkins back in the 80s or so when that was kind of coming up, and of course had great success and felt great, but I got scared, right? We were all scared. We knew that went against every health rule right. We'd ever been taught, mm-hmm. You know? So basically I've been battling obesity all my life. I probably started, I hit 145 once in my early 30s. So that's 30 years ago, right? And then from there, dieted my way up to 272 pounds. And I was just looking today at my charts. I really was closer to 274. I couldn't let myself see that number. The biggest number I could see was 272. So actually, I was driving a school bus and I saw these people who used to shuffle to their bus every day. They started walking a little faster, standing a little straighter, and they were shrinking very fast. One of the bus drivers lost 100 pounds in 6 months. And another one who I noticed he was hanging out with an awful lot, she lost about 40 pounds in the same amount of time. But of course, she wasn't as big as he was to start with. And I pulled him aside. I said, what are you doing? You got to tell me what you're doing because I've never seen that before. So this is probably 3 years ago. And he said, I'm carnivore now. I just eat meat. I'm OMAD. I said, what the heck is an OMAD? He said, I just eat once a day. You know, I just eat about noon. You know, we have our little break in the middle of the day as school bus drivers. I said, I eat about noon. I eat a big steak and I'm still hungry. I have some bacon and that's all I eat till the next day. And I thought, this guy is crazy. And you're going to die. He just lost 100 pounds.
Right.
But I could not imagine, you know, how people think. Now I understand how people think when I tell them pretty much the same story, right?
Right.
You know, I could never do that. You know, and from where I was, I most certainly could not do that. So then I pulled aside the lady who lost 40 pounds. I said, so what are you doing? Because I can't do what he's doing. What are you doing?
Right.
She said, I'm doing this keto thing. She said, I eat two meals a day, sometimes three. you know, and she was a little more lax with her carbs. She was more keto, but she was under 20 total carbs a day, or she may have been net carbs. I know when I started, I was net carbs. But she, I said, will you help me? I think I can do what you're doing. Will you help me? So she helped me get started in keto. And that I thought was 2 years ago. But after I had been on that for 6 weeks, I lost 20 pounds, was feeling pretty good. And she asked me to do a video for her. And I'd never done anything like that before. And I did a little video and I hated it because I'd only lost, you know, so what, I'm all the way down to 250, 260 at the time.
Right.
Did not like pictures or videos of myself. And I was so glad that I found that last fall. Because as I progressed along, you know, I picked up the keto. I didn't understand carb addiction. So I kept being pulled back in by that. And I didn't really understand carb addiction until last August, just 4 months ago. You know, when I had my last carb binge on August 4th. And it's like, duh, I get it now.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Carb binge, what's this?
I can't have a slice of pizza because a slice of pizza is not a slice of pizza for me. Slice of pizza for me is a 2 week carb binge.
Right. You know, yeah, it's like a fish hook.
Cookie, gotcha. An ice cream. Yeah, it's like, oh, so then once I got it, I locked it down. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had been so as I was going along, the 20 pounds I actually gained back because I totally walked away from keto. I couldn't make it work because I kept being pulled in. So I walked away for a year. And then I came back as I gained that 20 pounds back, was feeling very unhealthy. I mean, my husband and I made some long-term permanent financial decisions a couple of years ago based on the fact that we didn't think I was going to live very long. You know, and I didn't have any serious diagnosis, you know, but I was 60, 61. I could barely climb a flight of stairs. I'd have to take a break. My knees hurt, my ankles, my wrists. You know, I felt like an 80-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. And my heart didn't feel right. I just knew things were right. I was on Lexapro for depression. I was on Prilosec for acid reflux. And I was on Atenolol, 50 milligrams a day of Atenolol for high blood pressure and an irregular heartbeat. And those are things the doctors told me I'll have to be on forever. And I kind of saw that when I lessened the carbs, I lessened my need for the Prilosec because I knew that was wrong. I didn't want to be on it. But every time I went off it after a couple of weeks, I'd be throwing up. Like, well, you can't be doing that either. So I go back on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Blood pressure, I got to lower a little bit when I quit my high stress cubicle farm job. Right. I got to cut it in half. It's like, oh, that made a difference. But still a year ago, I was on 25 milligrams a day. You know, but then in August, when I got it about the carb addiction, you know, after hanging out in Ken Berry's PhD community and listening to the good people there and picking up, well, at that time I hadn't watched too many YouTube videos, but really plugged into Ken Berry's community, you know, and that finally they all talked about it. Okay, I finally got it. And I cut that out. I was 10 total carbs a day, which I started a year ago. I thought I had cancer. I had a big knot that just grew like over a weekend on the back of my neck.
Wow.
I went to the doctors and they did the contrast dye, you know, the MRI, whatever it is they do there, and came back and said, oh yeah, that's not good. We need a biopsy. Well, immediately when I got the thing, I had been plugged into Ken Berry already. Mm-hmm. And I took my 20 net carbs down to 10 total carbs. Or less, because I knew at that point that the sugar feeds the cancer.
Right.
Which none of the doctors I saw told me, but I knew that. So I took the carbs down. Well, by the time a couple months later into this process, when it was time for the biopsy was scheduled, the lump went away. So I canceled the biopsy. And I went back to my doctor and I said, you know, because I can fool myself, right? I didn't want to think that I had this thing. I said, mm-hmm. Will you double check this for me? And he checked. He's like, yeah, if it's there, I can't find it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Felt so good on 10 total carbs. I just kept doing it. So I did that for a year. I had full labs from a year ago when I started the 10 total carbs. It was my birthday. It was, you know, that's when I go do my annual exam. My fasting insulin was 34, which the doctor had never spoken to me about. And I didn't know about it, except that I heard Ken Berry talk about it and then started reading some of the books, you know, The Case Against Sugar and The Case for Keto and How We Get Sick and Brain Energy. All of those talk about insulin resistance. I had never heard of it before then. So 34, I knew was a really bad number. And being obese all my life, this has been my doctor for 20 years. He checked my fasting insulin only 3 times in 20 years of annual physicals. So I don't have all the data points, but I do have 3 data points over time that showed it was been climbing. You know, it hasn't been under 20 in over 20 years. So, So then I knew it was big. So I stayed on the 10 total carbs and then kept falling off, you know, last year all the way up until August when I figured out this carb addiction thing. And part of that was I had seen a few YouTube videos. I watch Amanda, Carnivorous Me, like, oh my goodness, you know, in the time that I've lost 10 pounds, she's lost 100 pounds. You know? Why is this not working for me? Well, I've always tracked really well at Carb Manager. So I sat down with my carb manager and I went back through my food logs for the whole previous 6 months. But, you know, in 6 months' time, I had not been under my 10 carbs a day that I thought I was doing so well. I hadn't done that more than 2 weeks at a time in 6 months. Like, well, that's why it wasn't working. I kept carving up.
Right.
So that's when I got serious. I took it down to the 10 total carbs and felt so much better. It was amazing. And then in August, like just a few weeks after that, I felt a shift in my body. And I didn't know how to even explain the shift. But, it, you know, 10 total carbs most days, I really wasn't that hungry. But if I was, I'd grab a pound of bacon or something, you know. But something happened in August, the shift that I really I didn't even think about food. The way that I looked at food, thought about food, the way it actually felt was different. And I thought, that's my fasting insulin. And I went and had it checked and it was 13. And that was in September. Yes, that was a year. And then my annual physical that I did again, November 1st, it was down to 11.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I looked at my husband and I said, do you think we should go carnivore? You know, should we just go carnivore? Because I'm watching all this stuff and I'm thinking that, you know, as it's been cleaning up, he and I are both, he's lost 60 pounds in a couple of years, you know, and we're both very healthy and happy and energetic. And it's just a whole different life, you know. And I said, well, you know, maybe we should clean this up a little more and go carnivore. And he said, I thought we were carnivore. You know, I talked to one of my friends and she said, yeah, I thought you were carnivore. And I talked to my sister. She said the same thing. So I went back and looked at my food logs starting in August. It's like, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I might have an onion once a month.
You know? Right.
I make garlic butter. I put a clove of garlic into 2 sticks of butter. So I'm thinking that's not carnivore. It's like, yeah, we've been mostly. And it feels good.
Wow, that's awesome. So was it more intuitive eating that you ended up that way, or was it a conscious choice to go carnivore?
Well, it wasn't conscious, but what was conscious was I can't deal with those rogue carbs anymore. So I can't have a cookie or I had a keto ice cream that was my own little recipe that I made up. Like, no, that's not helping me, you know. So I got it was more of, gee, I have to get rid of these things. And then I've never been a big vegetable eater. Like, I don't like, I could take them or leave them. I love the simplicity of just a piece of meat for a meal. You know, I always have frozen hamburgers. I always have frozen meatballs. So I've always got something quick I can make. There's never less than 2 pounds of bacon in my fridge. It's on sale. I load up. But a year ago, a pound of bacon was a snack at 10 o'clock at night. And now a half a pound of bacon and that's pretty much dinner. I'm good with that. You know, so a lot has changed. I've lost 70 pounds over the 2 years. I have 60 more to go.
Okay. And, that's amazing.
And I know that I'm going to get there. I don't know when, because my destination is optimal health and maintaining this lifestyle the rest of my life. You know, whether that be it, you know, I am 64. It's like, well, that could be a year, a day, a month, or it could be 30 years.
Right. So in terms of benefits that you have seen, obviously you said you still have a little bit of weight to lose. So do you think that your issues that you had before, like the depression, the high blood pressure, the reflux, that was related to weight, or is that a separate thing altogether?
I believe that was due to the insulin resistance.
Okay.
The more that I've learned and the more that I've seen how it's cleaned up. Now, the depression, actually, when the whole COVID thing came and the vaccines and all of that, and it's like, oh my gosh, our medications they're not even made on shore. I didn't even know what's in these medications.
Right.
No, and even if they were made on shore, would I trust, the whole trust thing?
Right. So
that really made me want to get off all my medications right away, which you can't do with any of those, right? I mean, yeah, the acid reflux, you can play with that because you get immediate feedback that, no, this isn't going to work. But the antidepressant, the blood pressure, you can't get off those right away. But with my husband's help, because doctors don't want to take you off an antidepressant, because if something bad happens, they're liable. I get why they don't want to do that.
Right.
But with his help and his oversight, and I did tell my sisters and I told my best friend, here's what I'm doing. We dialed down very slowly. And that I did when I was just keto, intermittent keto.
Right. Right.
and it worked fine. I actually was surprised how well that worked. But I think I was lowered my carbs enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was the carbs that were doing it. So the antidepressants, I've been off for 2 years now.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then the acid reflux was still a problem until August. And I knew it was related to carbs, but it would come and go and my medicine would come and go, as I needed it, because I'm not going to be throwing up and burning my throat and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But since August, I haven't needed any Prilosec. I had a little issue with Tums in October. I went to my doctor. I said, I've abused Tums. No, seriously.
Right.
I'd been a gum chewer. And I decided all of a sudden one day, it was something in Dr. Barry's PhD community. People were talking about gum. And I thought, well, I never thought about gum being a problem. I switched from Extra to Trident, because Extra was 2 grams of carbs and Trident was 1. But I'd have, 2 or 3 pieces a day. I'd never counted as carbs, for one thing.
Right.
And then I read the back and they're all chemicals. So I decided one day, no, I'm not doing that. I don't need those. Like Dr. Barry would say, I'm a grown-ass adult. I don't need a pacifier.
Exactly.
But when I went off the gum, I realized I had some habit stacking. Like they talk about, like James Cleary talks about in Atomic Habits, how we stack habits that we don't even know about sometimes. After dinner, I had my gum. So after dinner, I was looking for something. I'd grab a handful of Tums. Like, oh my goodness. So I had that issue, and then we took care of that. I haven't had a Tums since October, and I probably didn't need those.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Was it just because you had upset stomach, or why did you have to use the Tums?
Because I did need a pacifier after dinner.
Okay, gotcha.
I was missing my gum, and Tums is kind of benign. I'm not going to get inducted to Tums.
Nice. So after you basically said you've dieted for 50 years and these were considered healthy diets, a way to maintain yourself and be optimal, compare those diets versus what you're doing now.
Oh, it's amazing. Those diets were very hard to follow. I felt like I couldn't go out, like even holidays and things, because you can't have this and you can't have that. And, you look at what's the least offensive thing when you're dieting? Oh, probably a peanut, because I could justify the food. I could justify peanut butter. I could justify, probably exchange that for a fruit. I played a lot of food games. I learned how to play all the food games over the years, right? So all that game playing stuff, like that's all gone. And now when I look at a piece of cake, my stomach hurts. I still have some green beans in my fridge. When the kids came over for Christmas, I do make, they know I'm carnivore, basically. I make an awful lot of meat, but I'll make a salad for them. I know the girls like it, and green beans with a nut of bacon in it. And I cook them like Dr. Barry says. I cook the snot out of them all day like my granny did. You know?
Right.
And I like green beans. That's always been one of my favorites. But I look at that now and my stomach hurts just looking at it. Like, that's not, it's not going to make me feel good. So now I don't even feel like I don't have all those food rules, really. You know, the rule is I want to eat stuff that makes me feel good. I want to function. There's so much I want to do. And I don't want to eat stuff that makes my joints hurt. Yeah, it gives me brain fog and depression. My girlfriend, my best friend, she notices, you know, when I get a little foul mood now and then, she'll say, have you been eating carbs?
She's not beans again, didn't you?
She's not low carb. She thinks, you know, moderation, all those things I used to think a few years ago. But she said, you know, it's a little unusual, but I've noticed it in you, the carbs really affect you mentally. You know, and I say, yeah, like, I've read Brain Energy. I've talked to a lot of people. I know that carbs affect a lot of people that way.
Right.
So yeah, it's way different. It doesn't feel as restrictive. It really feels more like freedom. Yeah. I don't even plan my meals. I mean, I've always got stuff on hand. You know, husband and I look at each other and he asked me yesterday, he said, do we have any more steaks in the freezer? Because, you know, when they're on sale, we load up on those.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think we do. We're just down to these little ham steaks, which we prefer beef. But yeah, we don't spend any time thinking about food. It's nice.
Yeah, it's almost like once you have detoxed, if you will, from the carbs in the standard American diet, your body reaches a point where it doesn't view food as a reward. It just looks at it as a fuel source, and your body intuitively knows this is not good for me. At least that's what happened for me. Is that what happened for you?
Oh, me too. Yeah, those green beans are going to make my belly hurt.
Right?
Like, how silly. I didn't used to, even a year ago, I wasn't thinking about food in those right. terms. That food is going to make me hurt.
Absolutely. So how do you feel now compared to how you felt a couple of years ago?
I feel great. I have energy. My brain is working. Well, one of the things I've noticed is creativity has kicked in. Like, I didn't realize that was lacking, but it kicked in. And so sometimes things are spinning so fast, and just driving around in my school bus. Yeah, I drive around empty half the time. You drop the kids off at school, you got to drive around empty to get back to the garage, and, you know, from the garage to the first stop. So I'm driving around empty a couple hours a day. And then on the way to work and back, I'm listening to audiobooks, right?
Right.
But you can't do any of that in the school bus. And I think of all these things I want to do. And that's kind of new for me, you know. And I have my midday break is 3 hours long. So I always have 5 or 6 hours worth of stuff I want to do.
Nice. So what kind of things are you doing?
Well, I did start a YouTube channel. You know, Nisha and Ken Berry always say, if you've been on this a while and you guys are having some success, do a channel. And I have been helped by watching others. So that was kind of a scary new thing. It was fun and exciting, but, you know, so I'm still ramping up on that.
Okay.
And then when I started that one, I thought, you know, so I'm actually starting a second one. The second one is what I've started pieces of other times over the years, but now I believe I have the energy and I'm learning things about YouTube that I actually can do it. The other channel is daily Bible readings. And part of my thinking with that is that I've tried to talk myself out of it several times, but the thought won't go away. Like, okay, so I need to do it. You know, 3 chapters a day, you get through the whole Bible in a year. So I'll start, and I've started loading those already. I haven't done my intro or, you know, I haven't rolled it out yet, but I'm preparing for January 1st. And there's a lot of other ones out there. So that's why is that really a place where I want to focus my energy? Like, yeah, it is. Because at any time, that's legacy for my grandchildren. They can tune in. They can go on YouTube. You know, they didn't even have to find a disc anywhere. Grandma, read her favorite book. So
that is awesome.
Really excited about that one.
Very cool. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm sure the grandkids enjoy that as well.
Well, they don't know yet. They haven't rolled it out yet.
Right?
They will.
Well, they will.
They don't appreciate it now. They'll appreciate it later. Yeah.
Absolutely. Very cool. So in terms of meal preparation, what do you do now as, you know, compared to what you were doing before?
Oh, my goodness. It's so simple. It doesn't take all the time it used to take to try to get together. You know, and I know a lot of the carnivores and a lot of the keto people have all the great recipes and things that they love to do. It's like, I really don't, you know. You know, I'm good with taking a steak out of the freezer today to eat tomorrow. And tomorrow, we'll see how we feel like making it, you know. If I am really busy or tired or whatever, it's going to end up in the air fryer. It'll be just fine. You know, if I have a tiny bit of energy, it'll end up in the cast iron skillet and bacon grease. You know, and I do have a little rub that I put on it. I'm not going to give up my spices. As far as I know, they're not a problem for me. So spices we do. And, you know, if I'm really feeling, oh, let's go do something fun, I'll fire up the grill. You know, that's fun cooking for me. I'm going to throw a steak on the grill.
Nice.
And the same with the hamburgers. I'll pull the hamburgers out frozen, put them in the air, blow up my air fryer, put them in the air fryer, 10, 15 minutes. We've got a meal, you know, or the meatballs or bacon in the oven. So it's liver. I used to make liver and onions. And I grew up on liver and onions, you know, with the heavy gravy and all that good stuff. And we brought that back about a year ago. My husband loves it too. So I'd make the carnivore, you know, I didn't flour them or anything. Well, it wasn't carnivore because I put an onion in there. I caramelized the onion first. Mm-hmm. And along about September, you know, about a month into this, I'm giving up the carbs, cleaned up so much of our eating just by saying I'm not doing that one thing anymore. And then that liver and onions, the gravy felt too heavy. So, you know, again, in the PhD community, I saw somebody who had wrapped chicken livers with bacon. Now, well, okay. We really like beef liver. So I get the frozen beef liver and I chop them up into bite-sized pieces and I wrap them up with the bacon and broil them in the oven. And that's our weekly liver and bacon. That's probably the fanciest thing I make.
Yeah.
Hot roast. I put it in the pressure cooker, you know, 45 minutes. I've got a beautiful chuck roast.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. Sounds like you're saving time eating this way for sure.
Yeah, saving a lot of time and a lot of money. Now, we do buy our cow, quarter cow, coming in February. So we got to get the freezer down. But I have a couple of sources of local beef and I have a source of local pork, which, you know, we did buy our first half a pig in August and we really prefer the beef. Might not do the pig again.
Right.
For the beef. But in between those, when I go to the grocery store, I always look to see what meat is on sale. And we don't really like poultry. Well, I have a niece who does raise her own chickens. We'll buy a couple of her chickens every year. They're very good. But for the most part, it's beef, sometimes pork. But whatever's on sale, I know I can pick it up and I know I can look on the internet and figure out how to cook it.
Nice. That's
we
awesome.
Actually save a lot of money on our groceries that way.
Really? So how much do you think or do you estimate that you've saved on your groceries?
You know, that's kind of hard to know because, well, I do know that a year ago when I go to the grocery store, it was a couple hundred dollars a week because I thought that was, there's only two of us who live here. Grandkids don't visit that often. Most of them live out of state. The ones that are in state are getting older and they have all their activities. So pretty much that was $200 a week to feed two of us. You know, and now when I go to the grocery store, it's maybe $100 if I find a really good sale on, you know, they got ribeyes on sale. It's going to be a pretty hefty bill. But then I don't even need to go next week unless I'm out of mustard or eggs.
You know? Right, right.
So nice. I'd say we probably cut. And then it's, and what I haven't figured in is when we buy that half a cow, you know, $1,500, but that half a cow will last me 6 months. We eat a lot of beef.
Nice.
My friends laugh at how they're like, really? That only lasts you 6 months? Like, well, yeah, that's pretty much all we eat. So,
yeah. So you roughly saved about half on your grocery bill just by eating beef.
I believe it's been about half. Yeah. Because then there's no ice cream or chips or pop or you know, all those other things we used to buy. I used to buy a lot of vegetables, you know, like a lot of people, you know, 10 years ago when we tried to get healthy, we went really heavy towards fruits and vegetables. I used to have fruits and vegetables, organic fruits and vegetables delivered to my house before it was a thing. It's not 12 years ago. There was one company locally that did that. We did the juicing and all that stuff. So we had to move from that. And that was very expensive.
Yeah. That, at least for us, vegetables was a place for them to come and die in our fridge.
Well, there was that too. There was
it's healthy. You know, you're supposed to buy it and eat it because it's healthy, but it sat in the fridge and rotted because I don't like vegetables and it's so hard to timely cook those things, you know?
Right. And it was a lot of time and effort. You know, we were sprouting our beans and seeds. It's like crazy. Making our own little juices. We had no idea. Who knows what my fasting insulin was then. I know it couldn't have been good.
Right. Absolutely. So do you do anything in terms of meeting others that eat this way?
We just, you know, again, in the PhD community, when I heard people talking about meetups and all those kinds of things, I thought, well, why don't we have a meetup? And somebody had created, actually Coach Kevin had created a space for a Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, tri-state area meetup. And a couple of people threw it out, let's meet for dinner, but it was last minute. By the time I saw it, it was too late. And I thought, well, shoot, you know, what does it take to set up a meetup, right? So I reserved a shelter in September at a local park in Cincinnati, and I put the word out on Ken Berry's group. I said, hey, let's have a meetup, you know, and I had never been to one, so I don't even know what you do at a meetup, right? But I knew, and I didn't know if anybody would come. I didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that in September. 8 people came, so that was kind of fun, and 2 of the people that came lived a mile apart from each other and had never met. They're in the Cincinnati area. And one of the ladies had been carnivore for 4 years, and she'd never met anybody who ate the way she does. Like, she's been to every, so we've had them every month. I need to schedule January, February now. But yeah, by November, so we had October, we had 6 people, I think. November, we had like 14 people, and they came from pretty far away. It was amazing. So I did a little Christmas party with just people. I did it at my house.
Right.
I just invited people I had met at the, and we had 14 people. 14 said they would come and 14 showed up. Like, who does that?
Right. Carnivores.
But we will be scheduling. I committed to schedule monthly meetups for all of 2024. We've drawn a lot of people from Indiana and Northern Ohio. So we're going to take those and, you know, rotate between north of Dayton and then down by the river by Kentucky.
Awesome.
Really excited about that. And then Ketopalooza, went to that in October.
Mm-hmm.
Got to meet a few people.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Very rich. It's really
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it just was so funny how when you get together, it's like, we didn't know. We're all from different kinds of backgrounds. We're from different areas of the tri-state, different lifestyles, except for the carnivore and ketovore and keto. I think most of them are ketovore or carnivore. And there's an instant bond. We all have something in common. We all have the same issues with families and friends who don't get it. And we all watch the same YouTube people, you know? Nice. So we exchange gifts and I got this big mug and I'm like, oh, somebody stole my shirt, you know, but that's okay. Cause I got a mug as big as Rachel's head. So as big as Rachel's mug, everybody knew what I was talking about. They all seen Rachel's big coffee cup.
Right. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
So you said you're a member of Dr. Berry's group. How has that benefited you?
Oh, that's been great. That's been a big encouragement, you know, just even hearing the other people and how they're moving through their journey is a big encouragement. It's like, oh, that's what that is. You know, that was where I really clicked for me. Not that I hadn't heard Dr. Berry and other doctors, you know, talk about insulin resistance. And I had heard them, well, insulin resistance, I didn't get to like, got into the books. You know, I heard him talk about it, but I didn't get it. but the carbohydrate addiction, that was in the community, listening to other people and their journeys was when it just finally clicked for me. So yeah, I really enjoy that. And now that they have the coaching areas, that's really helpful because they all kind of have a different take on things, and and it's just very helpful. And then of course the lives that we get, I'm a $12 member. So I love that Wednesday afternoon live, you know, at noon, that happens to be during my break time between bus routes when I actually can sit down and if I have a question, he'll answer it, you know. And my husband had prostate cancer last year. I had some questions, you know, what about this and what about that? And, you know, and he's careful how he answers things. You know, I'm not your doctor. You need to go to your doctor. But here's what I would do, you know, and here's what you might want to look at. So, been very helpful.
Well, and you said your husband was also, he's also on the carnivore diet or keto war?
He's funny. He will eat whatever I make for him.
Okay.
So when I was keto, kind of, he was still buying chips and, you know, every once in a while he's had Pepsi addiction, which he's had for years, which I didn't truly appreciate till a year ago. I'm like, really? Pepsi addiction? You know, it's like, I get it now, because I was 130 pounds overweight at the time and he was 60 pounds overweight. So he was the skinny guy. He was almost 60 pounds overweight. So I didn't get this addiction kind of thing, but I kind of get it now. And then when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer in June, it kind of in May, we kind of, you know, we knew his PSA was like 74.
Wow.
Yeah, it was scary. That was very scary. So he never wanted to count his carbs. You know, I wanted him to go below 10 total, close to zero as you can, honey. But he did cut out all the plate around, you know, with his chips and crackers, and he did cut those out.
Okay.
So he's been lower, but mostly because he just eats what I give him, and that's all they do.
That's funny. So yeah. How is his cancer now?
Well, we believe it's gone. He had radiation for 6 weeks, every day for 6 weeks. And then he went back into the, and he had a hormone shot, which, because when you're scared and you don't know anything, you know, we went into the doctor and, you know, and he said, yeah, surgery is not a good option for what he had. It had traveled a little bit locally, not as much as what I had feared. You know, before he had his testing, I knew it was in his bones and in his bones and lungs. I think I had decided, like, no, it wasn't anywhere. They have these great scans now. They can scan. They can see everywhere. It was very localized. So they told him radiation for 6 weeks and hormone therapy for 2 years. And they gave him a shot that lasted 3 or 4 months. And they expected him to get that, you know, every 3 or 4 months, whatever it was. And then, and he said, okay. We both said, okay. You know, I was sitting there too. And we're driving home and it's like, I can't believe that we took that shot without researching. You know, we hadn't even heard of it before we went there. So we went home and did some research. Like, yeah, no, we're not doing any more.
Wow.
So, and he went back to the doctor a month ago. They took his PSA and they told us, they said, you know, we'll keep checking your PSA and it'll be down to 5 or 6 because of the hormones. Well, they took his PSA. It was 0.8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we're like, you know, and he's had a lot of prayer and he's done everything that they told him to. Well, he didn't eat the diet they told him to eat. He ate the diet he knew was better. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor was very concerned that he wouldn't take the next shot, you know, and he really pushed hard for that. And my back, and he said, no, I don't know that it works. And he said, and you expect my PSA to be 5 or 6. It's much lower than you expected. And he's like, well, yeah. And I want to know, why don't you just do another scan? Because I kept telling him, you still have cancer. You need to take these shots, these hormone shots.
Right.
You know, and they said, well, the scan's very expensive and insurance won't pay for it. Like, well, would we do anything different if we took the scan? Probably not. So he's going to continue his diet. He looks great. He's happy.
The carnivore diet effectively, and it hasn't, the cancer is still being kept at bay.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Definitely. They definitely said that all they do is check PSA periodically, and there's no way he could have cancer with a low PSA.
Right.
0.8. What number were you looking for?
Yeah, that's almost within the margin of error for sure.
Yeah, that's what they would expect somebody without cancer to have. So right. We'll continue to get the PSA checked, but he's not doing hormones and he's continuing to keep his carbs low.
What was the hormone by chance? Was it Eligard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That was the one.
Reason I know that is my business partner had prostate cancer and that's what they're giving him. But coincidentally, he's eating a vegan diet as an elimination diet, and he's having some health issues and things, and that it's come back now. So yeah, I'm trying to convince him to go to eat carnivore. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well,
the doctor finally said, okay, you need to start eating some protein, and told him to start eating fish. And so I'm like, okay, that's the first step. So, you know, ribeyes are coming next, brother.
Take a little bit of fish oil. Take some cod oil with your fish.
Right. Exactly. Yep. So
well, that is something. Yeah. When he went in for the radiation, when they were setting that up, they gave him a diet that he should eat while he's taking radiation. And meat, they had a don't eat these things and do eat these things. Meat wasn't even on the list. Wasn't on the do or the don't. But on the do list, waffles was the thing that made me hit the roof. Waffles.
Oh my goodness.
Cereal, you know, all kinds of sugar stuff. Like who eats a waffle without syrup, right?
Like, right. Yeah.
Waffle's bad enough by itself, but of course you, and syrup was not on either list. Sugar was not on either list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mike looked at it and he said, well, I don't eat carbohydrates and I've got gluten issues and, you know, I don't eat this way. The doctor, this is last summer, the doctor looked at me in the room too. And he said, oh, well, I guess you guys probably eat a lot of meat, potatoes. He said, I guess that'll be okay. But then you need to get healthy after that. You'll get colon cancer from eating all that meat, potatoes.
No.
We didn't respond. Like, of course we don't eat the potatoes, but thanks for nothing.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's...
It was disappointing that they don't, they have to know. They have to know that sugar feeds cancer. They have to know that.
Yeah, it's hard to think that they're almost willfully ignorant at this point, for sure. Yeah, to the proper human diet. It seems incredible that the common person can know about these things, but somebody who's trained to help others just has no clue in this area.
Great. It's disappointing. And I know my doctor, I've had my doctor for 20 years and I'll keep him. I like him. He's a good guy. He does the best he knows how to do. You know, 10 right. years ago, when he was counseling me and saying, you know, you've got a window of opportunity to not get into issues as you get older, you need to get this weight off. And I said, you know, I've tried everything I can think of. What do you recommend? What works? What have you seen work with your patients? And he kind of thought about it. Maybe people don't ask him that kind of thing. And he said, you know, even with the weight surgery, they gain it back. He said, they always gain it back. He said, I guess Weight Watchers. You know, so I actually went back to Weight Watchers 10 years ago. Like, yeah, I found that little book. It was 273, lost 20 pounds, gained it all back. You know, He really doesn't know, but he's been educated. Because he's seen me now the last couple of years. And when I went in, it was priceless. I went in November for my annual physical. And I asked him to get my labs first. I was worried about what the cholesterol and those numbers might be. I wanted to be prepared with my research papers. You know, the labs came back better than they've been in over 20 years. Every single one of them, even the cholesterol, every single one. Better than in 20 years, the whole time he's been seeing me. And he's looking at my labs and he's like, and your BMI, he said, I put people on medication. They don't do this well. You know, what are you doing? And I told them, you know, keto, because I didn't want to scare them.
Well, so well, hey, you're not being dishonest. You're in ketosis, bro.
Well, I did tell them less than 10 total carbs. I said, remember a year ago when we thought I had cancer, I said, went to less than 10 total carbs and it felt so good. I just kept doing it, you know, and it's like, wow. So then he actually called me and I'm off all my medications. So I was off of the Prilosec last summer. I came off the antidepressant. I came off 2 years ago. And then I started dialing down my blood pressure medicine this fall. Because I was getting dizzy, you know, you had to lean over, check under the bus, I'd stand up and get dizzy. Okay, checking my blood pressure. So when I went to see him, I had been off it for 2 weeks already. And he took my blood pressure. He took it twice because he didn't believe it. It was like 127 over 70. And I said, yeah, and I haven't had any blood pressure in 2 weeks.
What?
Didn't get that money.
That's
so I'm on all this medication, and he's never seen me this healthy. So he's learning. And then he put in my notes that I should come back in 6 months. So in all these years with all these problems, he's only seen me once a year. But he wants to see it, and I'm going. I want full labs again in June.
That's awesome. So you're saving money. You're saving money by not buying prescriptions now.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There was a time in my life, I actually had to take a job transfer once when my boys were, they were just turning 20, early 20s, just being launched out into the world. And I'm a single mom. They were my life, you know, in the Cincinnati area. And I worked for Anthem. They were headquartered over in Indianapolis. And they told me, you want to keep your job, you need to move to Indianapolis. You know, I didn't want to do that. So having my first grandchild that year, did not want to go. And as I sat down and did the math, it's like I was on $800 worth of medications every month if I had to pay for them myself. And at worst case, I don't move, I get fired. I didn't know if I was healthy enough to find another job like that, learn a new job, all those things. Okay, so I'll be working at Wendy's for minimum wage. I've always been frugal. Debt-free is my middle name, you know, so I was well situated that I could have stayed in my house, kept my cars. I could have lived pretty much an unaltered lifestyle on a Wendy's salary, except I couldn't afford my medications. And I had to transfer to keep my job because I didn't want to be a burden to my kids, you know? So yeah, because of $800 a month of medications. Like, it's
wow.
Great to not have that.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. So you're in a much better financial position by eating meat mostly, just by eliminating the prescriptions. You reduced your bill almost in half. And no doubt, I'm sure you're saving money on gas because you're not going to the store as often. And
that's true. Well, and I'm fortunate enough to live in a neighborhood where I can walk to the grocery store.
Oh, nice.
What a nice day. I take my little red wagon and I just walk over to the grocery store. It's kind of nice. Yeah.
Awesome. You get some exercise too, bringing back big old heavy steaks.
That's right. There's a big hill between here and there. So that's fun. Awesome. It is. I still sometimes look at the conveyor belt at the grocery store when I put all my things on there to. That looks a little odd. You know, it's just all meat.
Right? Yeah.
Sometimes a hunk of cheese, sometimes some heavy whipping cream, but mostly just meat.
Right? Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So if someone is watching and they are considering a carnivore, ketovore, keto diet, and what they're hearing from you, and they had the reaction that you had when you heard from those individuals, you just eat meat. What would you say to that person?
I would say just start with where you are. You know, that there's, if you're eating a standard American diet, you're probably eating about 300 carbs a day. You know, and I love Carb Manager. It's free. And I still log every day because I have played so many food games over the years that if I don't log, then I don't really know what the truth is. So I log, you know, I had a maraschino cherry yesterday. I put it on my log, you know. So that if I want to know why I'm having a carb craving, like, oh, well, maybe it happened. So I would say to find a way to actually log for a few days and see where you are, mm-hmm. and then cut down from there. You know, if you're at 300 carbs a day, if you think you have cancer, it's like, okay, go ahead, bite the bullet, go down to less than 10, you know, but if you just want to be healthy for the rest of your life, ease into it, you know, what can you do to cut out 50 carbs tomorrow? Look at what you did today. What can you do different tomorrow? And just cut it down gradually. And what you find is over time, you're going to feel so much better. You know, and I think that's what I did. And then whenever I got down to 100 carbs or so, it was pretty easy. Going from 300 to 100 was hard because you got to change a lot of things about what you do. But from 100 to 20, for me, was really easy. 20 to 10, really easy. Because you look and it's like, oh, if I just cut out that one thing, if I quit taking these gummy vitamins, that cuts out 10 carbs. Truly, that's not. A year ago, I had 10 carbs a day in gummy vitamins. Really?
Wow.
Just start gradually. A lot of people don't. I've seen people who do start with carnivore. You know, Amanda from Carnivorous Me, you know, cake of cookies one day and just meat the next day. And I admire those people. I'm not one of them. I think a lot of people are not. If you could do that, great. I think, yeah, that's the way to go. But to gradually ease, I know it took 2 years for me to actually kind of get this thing figured out where I can make it work every day. And I love it. And I feel the freedom. But in those 2 years where I had so many failures, I lost 70 pounds, you know, lost all my medications. I gained energy and joy, happiness. I mean, it's amazing. It's like you can give yourself grace to try and fail and readjust. It's a process.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that. That's really great advice. So in terms of how you feel age, where do you feel you are?
Oh my gosh. There, I feel like I did when I was in my 30s, you know, and so that's like, I'm 64. Even the kids on my bus, one of the kids on my bus, when I talk about grandchildren sometimes, you know, you remind me of my grandson. Like, you have a grandson? Yeah, I have grandchildren older than you. How old are you? You know, and I tell them, and they go, because they're thinking of their grandparents.
Right.
You know? So I know that comes across also. It's not just me, but I really do feel younger. And we are blessed to live in a community where we have walking trails and a nice little lake. I'm getting a dog.
Oh, nice.
I need a dog that can walk around. It's a 3-mile hike. And, you know, Mike's not always up for that. So I need a dog who begs me to go for a walk every day. I haven't felt like that since early 30s, 30 years.
That's awesome. Amazing. I love that. Yeah. I'm late 40s and I definitely feel like I'm in my 20s. It's insane. I think I feel like I'm, you know, when I was in my 20s, I don't even think I felt this good.
Yeah.
It's weird, but I love it.
Yeah. It's amazing. And we need that. We need that energy. We need that clarity of mind. We need bodies that work and that don't hurt all the time. We need to not have to sleep 10 hours a day just to function, because there's a lot of things we need to do, right?
Absolutely.
As Christians and as spouses and parents and grandparents, there are things we need to do as patriots. Yeah.
Absolutely. For sure. So, Karen, where can everyone find you on the internet?
Well, I do have the YouTube channel, which I'm going to start doing weekly updates. It's Choosing to Live One at YouTube. And I also have a Rumble, Choosing to Live. I didn't need the number one over there. So
okay.
They're not quite the same, but I do load videos to both places. And I have about a dozen videos out there right now. But encouraged by others that I've seen, you know, when you can see, I have another 60 pounds to lose. And it's like, when you see somebody every week, it is encouraging to see how they change over time.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be putting something out every week.
That's awesome. I love that. I'll definitely put links to your channel in the description below. And Karen, I thank you so much for spending time with me today. And it was a pleasure to get to know you better, and you're going to be an inspiration to many. I truly believe that, and I can't wait to see more content from your channel. And thanks so much.
Thank you, Adam. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Take care.
Okay.
listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.